You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 381, entitled Attracting the Best Clients for Your Lawn Care Business. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, the comments, and the feedback that you guys have been sending through. I really do appreciate that. And on that note, if you guys have any questions that you want to ask me in terms of maybe with your business, in terms of like customers or marketing, or even like lawn renovation questions, or how I do things in my business, leaf cleanups, all that sort of stuff, feel free to send those my way. You can do that through Instagram, through the DMs, or you can go to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com, go to the contact page and send me an email through there. Alternatively, if you are feeling brave, you can send me a voicemail message and ask me a question in your own words, in your own voice. You can do that very simply, very easily. In the podcast show notes, there's a link. If you look, it says send me a voicemail. Just tap on that link. It'll take you right to a website page that you can basically just hit the record button, use your phone to record a message to me or your computer's microphone, and just simply leave me a voicemail message. This episode today is based on a question that I got from a podcast listener, a written question. Those questions, if I, and a lot of times I can quickly answer them, replying through DMs or email or whatever the case may be. But sometimes I like to turn them into podcast episodes, such as the case in this episode today. Where I think, it's a topic that hasn't been covered, or maybe I haven't elaborated on it. And sometimes it's just a question that requires me to be able to talk through the process, or requires a more elaborate explanation that I could do or have the time to do in typing out, a long novel of a response to you guys. And it's just easier to record it as a podcast episode and have you listen to it. If you want to do that, make sure leave me a voicemail there or a written message. Like I said, the links are in the podcast show notes for that. Also, the winter interview series will be coming up soon. Considering this episode here is being released on November 1st. Going to be wrapping up a lawn mowing season in the next few weeks, and then we'll have the winter to do those interview episodes. So if you're interested, make sure you reach out to me on either of those sort of platforms, in email, Instagram DMs, or leave me a voicemail message. Let me know that you're interested, and we'll get you down on the list to share your lawn care business story in an episode. Just a little side note here, as I'm recording this, I am doing so in my home office, as I normally do record my episodes, but a little bit different today. I have a puppy behind me. He's not my dog. He's a dog sitting, basically, for my daughter's boyfriend, who had to travel for some soccer games, some university soccer games. And he recently got this puppy in the summer. I think he's four-month-old golden retriever. So we were watching him this weekend, but I'm recording this on the Monday, actually on Halloween. so I'm home alone with the dog. So I have him behind me in the room so that, you know, being a young little puppy, he just wants to be around people. And, so he's, you know, if you're not around, he's always constantly roaming around looking for you and, can be kind of mischievous, getting into things he shouldn't be getting into. So, I've just got him behind me. He's on the ground, sleeping. And like I said, just wants to be around people. So I figured it'd be quieter to have him here beside me asleep than to have him searching for me, walking through the house and whimpering and things like that. But if you do hear any weird noises or anything like that, because obviously puppies are unpredictable, that's what that is. And speaking of Halloween, obviously when you guys listen to this episode, Halloween will have passed. Hopefully you guys had a good and safe Halloween Eve. Evening. This past week just never ceases to amaze me the how Mother Nature works. Went from the 4 months of crazy drought without a drop of rain to now full on monsoon season. Like, we're talking crazy amounts of rain. Just, you know, welcome to the Pacific Northwest. It's now it feels normal. So, yeah, kind of just absolutely crazy. It's like the, you know, God above just was like, here, let me turn on the taps, right? Completely dry to full on, like, just crazy amounts of rain. So the timing is great though, because we've had a whole week now of a lot of rain, pretty steady rain, and that you know, with all of that, you know, drought and the dry, very dry grass, just scorched. With Halloween coming, of course, fireworks and firecrackers and all that sort of stuff could have posed and been a huge issue this year. But luckily, you know, we've had a good week of rain now and everything is just drenched. And luckily actually as well, it just has worked out great. Like, the rain has been really steady all week. And now, you know, here we are Halloween morning. It was pouring rain this morning, and now the skies are clearing up, it looks like, and they're saying, you know, meteorologists are saying it's gonna be a nice clear night for the trick-or-treaters, and then the rain hits again in like around midnight or something. So yeah, it's just worked really nicely all around. So yeah, hopefully, like I said, by the time you guys hear this, Halloween will be over, but hopefully everybody had a good and safe evening. This past week as well, I put out a YouTube video you guys might be interested in, about the Exmark Navigator. It's my long-term, basically honest review. And so it's been over a year now that I've had the machine. I got the machine in late August of 2021. Was able to use it basically through the full leaf cleanup season last year. Got to experience that machine through the heavy growth of spring. And, you know, as you guys heard earlier this year, you know, we were getting a very wet spring as well. So got to experience that machine with lots of wet grass and all that sort of stuff. Didn't get as many or as much time on the machine overall as I would have liked, because then we hit that 4 month drought. And of course, a lot of lawns were sporadic in their cutting. But overall, got a good sense of that machine going through basically a full leaf season last year. Got part of the leaf season already starting this year. I got some of the late summer leaves falling. Got lots of good spring, heavy growth, cutting through lawns and stuff with that machine. It was basically just the summer, the last 4 months that, you know, the machine was used more sporadically. And when I was doing it, it was, you know, basically just dry summer leaves and stuff that were on lawns and things like that. So it wasn't too crazy in the summer, but the most important parts of the year I got to experience in their sort of crazy natural Pacific Northwest habitat. So yeah, I put that review out. It's a long video. It's about 27 minutes because I tried to go through a bunch of stuff on that machine. And I did the review a bit differently because of my previous experience owning a Walker MT23 GHS mower. And, you know, a lot of the questions I get are people comparing the two and asking me, you know, what I think of the differences and all that sort of stuff. So my review is kind of set up differently in terms of, like, I go over the machine, how it's performed for me, you know, show a lot of B-roll that I filmed over the year of using that machine in all those sort of extreme type conditions. I draw a lot of comparisons between the Navigator and the Walker just based on my experience at owning the Walker that I did own, that 2007 MT-23 GHS that I bought brand new there in 2007 and used for 4 years. Yeah, you know, my experience in comparing the two, obviously you're comparing a 2007 machine, even though it was brand new, to a 2021 machine. So obviously there's going to be some differences there, but overall, I think the Walkers haven't changed too much. Obviously, the design, the basic design is about the same. There was a lot of upgrades made in the 2007 model that are still the same, like the blower size and stuff. When I bought that machine, they had just upgraded it, and it's been about the same now for those years. Overall deck design, all that sort of stuff is basically about the same. They've changed like the way the hinge on the rear door works and the seat and stuff and some other things. But overall, it's basically about the same. So, yeah, like I said, I just made some comparisons between the two, why I like one over the other based on my experience, and basically go through it all, in that sort of setup or that sort of a way of doing an honest review. Now, a lot of you guys, obviously, I hear all the time that reviews are, can't be trusted and stuff like that. If companies send you mowers and send you equipment and stuff like that. And with mine, I hope you guys realize by now watching my reviews that it doesn't matter whether a company sends me out equipment or they don't send me out equipment, that, I completely honest with you guys, for example, with the Exmark Staris, when I was doing the review on that, and the bagger kit that they sent out for that had a major design flaw in the adapter that adapts the generic bagger kit that Exmark sells to that Staris, and I pointed that out in the video, and it's it was a major flaw, Exmark has been absolutely fantastic. And I say that because it should give you guys the confidence in knowing that those reviews are 100% real. Because not only were they receptive to the video, they actually applauded me for it. They were happy to show me that they had redesigned that particular attachment because of my video and because they started getting other, obviously, people and dealers inquiring about that same issue. And they had already known about it because I had done a full video on it and, basically pointed out the flaw and showed them that flaw. To be able to partner with a company like Exmark that allows me to do that, to not be afraid to point out things that may not be perfect, is just awesome. Throughout 3 or 4 years of partnering up with Exmark, not once have they ever asked me to specifically make a video about something. Not once have they told me what to say in a video. Not once have they asked me to send them a video in advance before publishing it to, quote unquote, approve it or anything before it goes out to the public. It's basically do what you do best. Talk about the equipment, share your experiences, good and bad, and, just be completely honest with it. And that's what I've done. And it's just awesome to be able to do that. So I just say that because, like I said, a lot of you guys, and it's understandable, people have these notions that some, sponsored products, I guess you could say, would be fake reviews, but I've never shied away from that. If you go through my videos, you'll see brands that I've worked with products that were not good. It doesn't bother me talking about it, that it's not good. My theory is that if you are a brand and you're promoting a product, whether I approach you because I want to promote the product or whether they approach me because they want me to promote their product, my point of view is the scenario I'm going to be using this in a commercial, application running a lawn care business. So if your product is not up to the standards to hold up to that, then don't send it to me, because I will point that out, that it's not going to last. It's not going to work out. So just make sure, something to keep in mind, right? So, I just say that just because just wanted to make sure that you guys understand that these reviews are not inhibited by anything. So in that video, I make some comparisons between the Walker and the Exmark based on my personal experiences, and go over, what I like, what I don't like, what I wish I had gotten differently on the machine or ordered with it, that sort of stuff. And then I point out some of the issues I've had with the machine. If you're interested or have been thinking about a Navigator, definitely a video to check out. Definitely check it out. So I'll leave a link, like I said, in the podcast show notes to that video, so you can watch it directly, or just go to my YouTube channel and you can check it out there. So I'm speaking of Exmark, I am going to play the this week's Exmark's sponsored ad, and then we'll get into this week's episode right after this. So stay tuned.
Summer showers, dust that chokes, acres that just won't end. Exmark knows the job of a landscape professional isn't an easy one. That's why we've crafted a legendary line of mowers built to overcome any obstacle, so you're ready to close the deal and finish the job, like you always do. Cut from the same red metal as your Exmark mower, you aren't just good at this. You were built for this.
Okay, so as mentioned at the top of the episode, this week's episode is brought to you guys from a question from a listener named Isaiah, who sent me a message saying, Julio, I just started listening to your podcast, enjoying it so far. It helped a lot with insurance and bidding and much more. I've been mowing for about 6 years now and have just officially established an LLC. My question is with customers. I've got customers who clearly have the financial ability to hire me and pay my asking rate, which in my town is probably on the lower end of the spectrum compared to other larger companies. But they try to dictate when they want me to come. They don't allow me to provide my service without some micromanagement. They hire other companies for spraying and or overseeding. Sometimes they ask me about a service and then do it themselves after they've already scheduled a service. When and where do I draw the line of allowing that to continue to happen? Also, I have had some customers call for overseeding their lawns after renovations to their home. They've destroyed the yard and obviously want it replaced. What process do you go through in overseeding? What do you use for germination, for a germination blanket and stuff? I'm a small owner operator with a lower overhead budget at the time and don't have the equipment to hydro seed or drill seed in. I work a full-time job and just do this on the side with the intentions of growing and being self-employed. Any help will be appreciated. Located in southeastern South Dakota, USA. Well, hi, Isaiah. Thank you so much for sending in your message. Appreciate you doing so, as well as for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate that. You've got two completely opposite ends of the spectrum for questions there in one response. So I'm not sure if I'll be able to get to all of it, but I will definitely start with the first portion of that question in regards to the customers. So this is something I think a lot of people go through, and it's, you know, one of those things that is completely dependent on the business. There's no right or wrong answer here. The only right answer to this is to what is the right thing for you to do in your situation. What I do is completely irrelevant because of my situation. I can tell you, and I will tell you, how I've handled that sort of situation, but it's not something, as we get through this episode, it's not something that you just listen to and go, okay, he says do this, so I'm going to do that. No, it's something that I say, this is what I do, and you think about whether that is applicable to your situation. And then if it is, then hey, yeah, go ahead and do it. If it's not, then you have to decide what's best for you. And what I mean by this is that you are, you know, customers come in all varieties, right? There's going to be the, you know, I have customers that are absolutely fantastic that I do, you know, everything for. They want me to do the aerating. They want me to do the fertilizers, moss control and lime on the lawns. I do the mowing every week. I trim their shrubs and hedges and all that sort of stuff as well. Prune their trees, do the leaf cleanups, do it all, right? Then there's clients that I have had over the years where they have specific needs. So I'm their lawn guy and I do everything related to the lawn. But when it comes to the garden, they have a gardener who does everything except for lawns. He doesn't do lawns, but he knows everything about plants. And, you know, I've had that and it's been fine. I have no issue with that. I have clients who I do all the lawn mowing, but then they have hired these big, you know, multinational conglomerate companies, you know, the Weedmans and the Nutrilons, all that sort of stuff, to do the aerating and fertilizing and stuff like that. And I try to, you know, in the past, I, because of how those companies work, tech, you know, typically they are doing phone sales with those customers. They're very aggressive salespeople. They sell very highly discounted packages and want customers to prepay for those packages for the year in advance and give them a great price if they do. So it's very difficult because with those customers, you know, they're prepaying for a yearly package and then, you know, you come around or they might be looking for a lawn guy and then, you know, they're already locked into this sort of package for the year for that other stuff. And, you know, so there's, you know, those types of customers. There's other customers that I have that don't want anything done other than mowing, you know, over the years. There's some customers that, you know, it was, you know, they would just want mowing once a month or once every 10 days or whatever the case may be. There was customers I've talked about where they would phone me when they want it mowed. And it, you know, it all comes down to that, what your situation is. And that teeter-totter that I always talk about, that teeter-totter of business where when you first start out, you are on the side of the teeter-totter where you have more time than you have customers, right? When you're first starting, you're hitting the ground running. You might have a handful of clients, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 clients when you're just starting out. You know, you can get that done in half a day, and then you got the rest of the week to, you know, twiddle your thumb. So you have a lot more time than you have customers. As the years go by and your business gets more established, then you have way less time than you have customers. You will have, you know, a full slate of customers. Your schedule will be fully booked. And it makes it, you start to, especially in that sort of transition period, you're going to have a big mix of customers. You're going to have those really good customers that just love and adore you. I have some that, you know, I've talked about in the past, like every week when I'm there, they will come outside to talk to me and they just praise me every week. It's like, you're doing such a good job. We're so happy to have you. So, you know, thankful that you've taken on our lawn. I have customers who, one in particular that every season and never ceases to amaze me when it's coming down to like this time of year and the mowing is, you know, coming to an end, even though I've mowed their lawn now for, you know, 2, 3 seasons, I think. Actually, it's been 3 seasons. So it'll be, yeah, 3 seasons now. For the past 3 seasons at this time of year in October, they always come out and ask me, you know, when, you know, the seasons wrapping up. And then they say, you know, we really hope you'll consider taking us on again next year. And it's like, what? You're asking if I'll take you on, sort of thing, right? It's I always get a laugh out of it, right? Because they're a great customer. I do everything for them. I have their credit card. They never complain about anything. So it's funny that they're asking me if I'll take them on. And I can only assume that maybe it's because I've had bad experiences in the past with service providers. You know, I've had that other customer that I've talked about who, you know, the first year he called me, I went to go see his place and the parking was terrible in these little spots for at least to have like the truck and trailer. It was going to be more of a pain, I thought, than would be worth for this little property. So I turned them down and said, yeah, you know, I don't think it's going to work out. The parking is just, and they're just like, oh, really? Like, you know, we'll move the car, we'll make sure that this spot is open for you and reserved and stuff and all this stuff. And we can move the car when you get here and all sort of stuff. And I was like, you know, it's kind of, I think it's still going to be too much of a hassle for that, right? And then the next year they called me again and were like, oh, I'm hoping you'll reconsider and all that sort of stuff and thing, right? And then finally I broke down. I was like, okay, like these guys really want me to mow their lawn. And it turned out not to be too bad. During the middle of the day when I'm typically there, you know, before lunch and stuff, there's usually at least one spot available where I can pull in, you know, fairly nearby. And I go and do that lawn. And that's that video I did a couple weeks ago of mowing a tiny lawn. I did that like 2 or 3 weeks ago. If you want to check out that property, and it's a tiny little property, but the parking is, when it's busy there, there's very little parking spots, lots of no parking signs and stuff around. So there's very few spots, especially with a truck and trailer. So you get that mix of customers over the years. Now, here's the key is it depends on your business and what you want out of your business. The easiest thing I can say is for me, what has worked is basically I position myself as a higher tier service provider. So what I mean by that is I don't advertise really cheap pricing. And I also lay out a lot of those requirements to be a customer in my business. I direct when customers call me because of that sort of the stage of my business, being in business now 17 years, when a customer calls me, I don't even answer the phone anymore because I'm at that stage where I've got, a pretty full slate. There's always room for one or two more clients if I want, but they have to be the right client. So I don't typically answer the phone anymore. I allow customers or I direct customers who phone me and there's a voicemail message saying, if you want a quote for lawn service to go to the website. And even I believe in the voicemail message, it says that, I think it says that we're only taking on clients that are like full service, weekly mowing clients and stuff. Again, when they go to the website and then there's the, for them to request a free estimate, that is the same story again. It basically lays it out there. That, currently only taking on clients that are weekly weekly mowing service, right? So I'm not, if there's a client looking for a 2 week cut or looking for, every 10 days or once a month or something like that, right away, that's going to tell them that, hey, that's not what we provide, right? That we are more, as an analogy I like to use, we are more like the steakhouse than the McDonald's, right? This is what you're going to get here versus that. You can't go to McDonald's and order a steak, and you can't go to, the steakhouse and order, a cheeseburger, basically, right? They're two different things. They're both restaurants. They both serve food, but it's different classes. So basically, that's what I'm establishing is that hey, if you're looking for a business or a service provider who you can dictate when they come to mow your lawn, then this is not the company, right? It's saying we're only taking on weekly lawn mowing clients. Furthermore, in my services page, when they click on the lawn mowing section, It basically lays out all those company policies. Hey, here's what it is. Here's what we offer. This is the menu, so to speak, right? The menu is weekly. Every client, every lawn gets a weekly visit from March till, you know, end of June. In July and August, some lawns may go to a bi-weekly cut at our discretion, not your discretion, at our discretion. If I think that lawn doesn't need a cut, then I will skip it and put it on a two-week rotation. But even then, two-week service is the minimum required service if you want to be, you know, on the list, basically, right? If you want to be on the schedule, that is the minimum service requirement. And then in September, you know, it says basically the rain usually, well, I think it says the rain always returns in September. This year was the first time that was an exception. And service continues back to the weekly service. You know, and I call it, you know, the weekly as needed service because your lawn dictates when it gets cut. Every lawn is different based on the needs. Some lawns are fertilized, some are not, some have irrigation, some are not. And I call it, you know, it's the fairest way that I have found over the years. I'm not looking to rip off people, but I'm looking to keep my business sustainable and worth doing and being profitable at the same time, right? So it's focusing in on those types of clients. So, you know, this year, with that exception, with the drought and stuff, I had to make changes. There's customers whose lawns just were scorched. And, you know, there's a few where I just went and did once a month through September and October. So I did like two cuts where normally I would have done eight by now on those lawns, right? So obviously that's a loss to me, but it's the fair thing to do because that's just, you know, how it is. I have to be able to sleep at night as well in knowing that everything in the, yeah, at the end of the day, everything works out, right? God will, has a plan for you and will, you know, put your trust in God that he's not going to leave you out high and dry and that things work out. If, you know, you're not making income one way, God will provide. And that has been my case throughout my entire life, is that I have never been without, not been, you know, overly wealthy. I'm not driving around a Lamborghini or anything like that, but there's never been a time where it's like, oh, I can't make the mortgage payment. Oh, you know, can't buy Christmas gifts or birthday gifts for my family. Oh, can't go on vacation. Oh, can't, you know, there's times you have to adjust, times where you go, well, I'd really like to buy that Tesla. You know, I really want a Tesla Model 3. It's like on my wish list of, you know, my dream car to own. I just really like them. But it's one of those things where it's like, you know what, right now, it's not really worth it to me. You know, I have that other small electric car, which is kind of feeding that geekery side of me of having an electric car. But then I look at, especially with, you know, the pandemic and supply chain, how prices of vehicles have gone through the roof. And I look at these used Teslas and I'm like, man, like the expense, the new ones have gone up in so much in price, which has meant the old ones or used ones have gone up in price. And I'm like, it's just not worth it to me to spend that much on that car. As much as I'd like to have that car, it's not worth it to me to do that. So I'd rather just wait and, you know, see how things go. Same with my truck. It's the same scenario, right? I almost bought a brand new truck this year, back in January. I got so close, so very close to buying that truck. In the end of the day, I was just like, it's not really worth it to me. And at the end of the day, I'd love to have a new truck. I'd love to have, you know, my Instagram full of, you know, photos of this brand new, you know, truck, especially the triple black that it was, a Sierra in triple black, black wheels, black interior, black outside, with, you know, my work trailer, which is black and stuff. Thought, you know, it would look so sharp and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it was like, why? You know, it's a lot of money for a truck to mow lawns with when my truck is perfectly fine. Yeah, it's not new and stuff, but it's still, you know, it's not falling apart. It's not, you know, anything like that. You know, customers ironically still ask me every season when I start in the spring, if my truck is new, because it's always so shiny looking. And I'm like, no, it's an old truck, but I try to take care of it. So it's one of those things, right? You have to weigh those options of what is right for your business, regardless whether when it comes to customers, when it comes to equipment, when it comes to truck purchases, whatever the case may be. So I try to lay that all out for customers so that they know what to expect. And that's why, you know, they go to that mowing page, there's all that information there, and it basically tells them about that mowing schedule. It tells them about, you know, if you got a trampoline on your lawn, my past experience in years past is I would move trampolines, but then there was a couple times where I pulled my back trying to do them because they would be big, heavy trampolines. With all the rain here, the ground would be soft, they would kind of sink in, you're trying to pull them to get them undone, to move them, and you know, you'd pull something in your back, then you'd be in pain for weeks and stuff, and back spasms and all sorts of. So I was like, you know what, I don't move trampolines anymore. If you want the trampoline moved, if you want me to mow under it, then you're gonna have to move it each week before I get there, and I will mow under it, and then the following week I'll mow under the other side and keep it that way. And that has worked fine with me with all my customers, as well as, patio furniture, the dog waste, that you'll be charged for dog waste and stuff. You will encounter customers as you lay out these policies that, you know, will resist that or might complain about that and stuff like that. And I always just tell myself, well, they're not the ideal customer, right? They're not the customer that I need in my business. They're not my, and the thing I always have to remind myself as well is that, you know, if I'm going to keep a client around that, you know, say that dog waste policy, that's a great one to hit on. And the dog just yawned. I don't know if you guys heard that. The dog waste policy is, one that, is a great one to talk about, because say, for example, I didn't have that dog waste policy in place, and, you know, then people were less likely to clean the dog waste. And there's been client lawns in the past where there's a lot of dog waste. One thing I know is that whenever I'm on a property that has dog waste, it's absolutely miserable to me, right? To have to deal with that. I find it so disrespectful that you would, as a client, invite a stranger to come onto your property to do work for you, and you don't clean the dog waste. And you know very well that I have to tiptoe around it. I have to almost unavoidably, I'm going to be running over it, or whatever the case may be. So I find it super disrespectful, right? I would be completely miserable. And I was in the beginning when I would have those customers that wouldn't clean it. And so I had no shame in adding that dog waste policy. And it's one where I'm not cleaning the dog waste. I'm just basically punishing you for leaving it on the lawn, is basically what that dog waste policy is. And I've talked about the one customer that I had that was so bad that I had to go from, you know, I usually charge like a flat rate, like $15. If there's any dog waste, if there's a, you know, and sometimes, and I'm still, like I said, I'll still be fair. If a customer has a dog and they're very good at cleaning it, and I get there and there's one dog pile there, clearly they missed it, but they made an effort to clean the rest of it, then I don't charge them. If there's dog waste on their front lawn, and you know, it's not like a fenced in lawn or something like that, or it's a different size waste than what is normal from what their dog is, like if they have a little dog and there's like a big, then I know it's not their dog, I don't charge them. But when it's their own yard and it's like constant, like I had this one, and I would charge the flat rate, and it didn't deter them. Then I went to, you know, specifically, I just changed the policy for that customer, gave them written notice saying, hey, dog waste is changing to a per pile basis, basically $2 a pile. And that client, it was crazy. It was like I was charging them more for dog waste than I was for the actual mowing. And they never said anything about it. Week after week after week, they paid more for the dog waste than they did for the actual mowing. What's up? He's getting a bit antsy, the puppy behind me. So it's one of those things. And, you know, I had to lay out that policy because if I didn't, I'd be miserable. So you have to think, you know, at what stage your business is in. If you're in the beginning and you're just starting out and you're doing this full time, then that you're going to have a lot less control over this, right? You are going to basically bite the bullet, grin and bear it a little bit more willingly than you would if your business is established and you've got a lot of customers and you've got a high demand, like I have, where customers are asking me to mow their lawns and I'm turning them down, and then they're, you know, calling me the next year, asking me to reconsider and all that sort of stuff. That's a completely different situation. If you're doing this part-time versus full-time and you're not relying on it, as I believe you said in your email, Isaiah, if you're not relying on this as your income, sole income, then you have that freedom still, right? You're not locked in. So you can pick and choose those customers as much as you are planning to build your business and go, you know, full time with it and all that stuff. You can start to establish those guidelines of what you want your business to be. I think the most difficult thing is to be like in the situation where I was when, you know, I was fed up with my past job and wanted to go into lawn care, and then I just kind of dove into it. And not only did I dive into it, I dove into it with buying a franchise. So I had this debt right off the bat of buying a franchise that included equipment and stuff, but that franchise fee was, double what it would have cost me just to get the equipment part of it. But then I was also on top of, you know, mortgages and all that stuff for my house and all that stuff. You know, obviously, I mean, not my wife works, but, you know, helping out with the household, income and all that sort of stuff. I also now had and was locked into this extra mortgage, the franchise fees that were due every month, regardless of how much I worked or didn't work. There was this set amount that had to be paid. And I think back in my day, it was 500 and something bucks a month that I had to pay, minimum. And then there was extra charges, excuse me, for lead fees and, you know, referrals and all that sort of stuff. But the base rate was 500 bucks a month that I had to pay every month for as long as I was in that franchise. So, you know, that pressure was a lot different, because then you're like, well, you know, I'm just starting out. I don't have any clients. I got to build these clients. So every call I was getting, I was grinning and bearing it with those dog waste ones, with the really terrible lawns, with the customers that would call you and, you know, tell you when to come and mow and tell you, you know, when not to come and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's that teeter totter, right? In the beginning, that's when you're at that teeter totter. So like I said, there's no right or wrong of when is the right time to do it, when is not the right time to do it. I would just say that in a position of a part-time person, I would start to establish that as soon as possible. Because you're not relying on that equipment, or sorry, relying on that income. If you have another job. So you can start to build those clients. Like I say, I lay it out in that term. So when customers, I'm referring to all customers to go to the website, go look at this, you know, they read through those policies. If they decide that they want a quote, they're reminded on that submit a quote page on the website that, hey, it's just clients that are full, you know, a thing. And, you know, there's still clients that will submit a request for an estimate. And, you know, in the little, I have a little section at the bottom, says like notes or whatever. And they'll leave a note saying, hey, looking for biweekly service. And it's like, well, did you not read all the stuff that you just had to read before submitting this? And then again, you know, if they choose to submit it, then the auto reply that they get is basically saying, you know, thanks again, and you know, your, you know, weekly service, and also it kind of they keep getting this reiteration of what it is. And my hope for that is just that it basically stops customers who aren't my ideal customer from even requesting a quote. That's the whole point of it. It's just to deter those non-ideal clients from requesting a quote. Because what I want is those ideal clients, especially at this stage in my business, where I'm actually, as I get older, and you know, my body can't continue at the pace, but I still enjoy being by myself. I'm still not 100% set on moving to employees or getting employees and stuff like that. I still enjoy, it's that introvert part of me, right? I still enjoy being by myself, being a solo operator more than anything else. So for me, it's more, you know, in coming years, I see myself more downsizing and just focusing in on those best clients than going to, you know, more clients or anything like that. And, you know, like this year, I added cancellation policy as well for the first time. I've never had a cancellation policy in my service, so I just added that to that. And when customers request a quote, the final step of that quote is, hey, here's your estimate, and here's all those policies that you've read through before, but here they are again in writing attached to your actual estimate, and you need to agree to this. You know, and tell me, you know, that's cool, whatever. Here's the credit card number, all that sort of stuff for me to continue. And I actually had a customer this year who was like, yeah, yeah, okay, blah, 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 blah. And they were like not really agreeing to the actual estimate, because they were texting me and not replying to the actual email estimated quote. And I literally laid it out to them. I need you to respond to the email that, yes, you want me to continue after you've read through those policies with your credit card for me to be able to start. And they responded back on the actual email, yes, fine, everything's good, go for it, sort of thing, right? But it was like, it's there for a reason. It's to protect you and protect me. You know what to expect, I know what to expect, and it's all in writing, we've all agreed to it. And, you know, that's how we move forward. So I think it really just depends on, you know, what you want to do next year. You know, I've talked about in past episodes how because of those, you know, some of those clients that have those like pre-paid, you know, weed man type contracts and stuff that they sign in the beginning of the season that do the aeration stuff. Like I had a client a few weeks ago that I went, I think I talked about this, that I went and went to go mow their lawn and saw it was, had been attempted to be aerated. And it had one of those signs on the front lawn from one of these, you know, companies. I'm like, why would they aerate? We've just had a drought for 4 months. Like, you could tell the machine was bouncing on the lawn like it was trying to aerate through concrete. There was no holes, there was no plugs. Yet, you know, that's what they got because they prepaid for the service. It's from, you know, a large conglomerate, you know, multinational type company that doesn't care. They do not care about the health of your lawn. They just care about, you know, making the most profit. And that's just the way it is, right? They're not going to get, so it's one of those things where, you know, I started thinking about that and going, you know, next year I might even go to adding another policy where I'm only from, you know, next year forward, I will only take on clients that I take care of everything. Up till this point, you know, I've had, clients where, you know, they have those other contracts, and I'm okay with that first year because they, like I said, we'll usually prepay for that for the whole year. So it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to punish the customer for that. But going next year, you know, if I'm still your, you know, service provider for the lawn mowing, then I need to also be your service provider for the aerating and fertilizing and all stuff. I'm here every week. It only makes sense that I'm the guy that does it, not some other guy or other company that sends some kid that doesn't care about anything, to whip through the lawn, putting who knows what on the lawn. I'm the one that has to deal with the consequences week after week. So, you know, that has been my policy, but I haven't really enforced it too much. So I think next year that's going to be going through is just enforcing that, letting people know that, hey, this is the deal. If you have one of those companies, you can finish off that contract with the companies. But moving forward, I have to take over that stuff. And if not, then we can't do business together. You're going to have to find somebody else to do the lawn. And just being more strict with it, because, you know, that's the ideal client that I want. I would rather have less clients than more clients, as long as those clients are good clients that, let me do all that sort of stuff, because it's way more profitable to me to work on those clients, especially with the price of fuel and all that sort of stuff and everything going up. It's better for me to stay on the one property or visit, those few properties and have more jobs to do that I can fit in with those properties than to have to be running around a bunch of, hundreds of properties just doing mow and blows quickly and, not making a lot of profit on those properties and going through stuff like that. I'd much rather that. But that's what is good for me. Not only for my business, I find, because like I said, the proof is in the pudding for me. It's just so much more profitable for me to deal with clients like that than to deal with, I know you're getting tired. The little guy's giving me those puppy dog eyes, literally. It's one of those things that's just better for my business, but it may not be the right choice for your business, depending on where you are, where your aspirations are. And the situation, if you are a solo operator, it may be more important to you to do that, to, hone in on those best clients. If your dreams are having a large company with tons of employees and trucks like that, then maybe just getting volume is what's important to you. And so, dealing with those types of clients may be not as much of an issue. But I think overall, it still is a bit of a problem. So I would say that it completely just depends on your situation, dealing with that type of client and just educating clients, letting them know. I've told the story many times about the client that would, I'd always talk to him about aerating. He was one of those clients that would call me when the lawn needed mowing, and it'd be like sometimes 3 weeks in advance. And he had a really nice house. Like, it was a really high-end house in a super nice neighborhood, but I don't know if he was just cheap or what the case may be. I think he was just cheap. He just didn't want to spend the money on having the lawn cut every week, and it just looked terrible all the time. I'd go there and cut it and stuff, but I'm like, I'm cutting so much because it's been 3 weeks since a cut. He wouldn't get it aerated. We get all that rain, so it's always compacted. And I'd tell him about it. He'd always be no. And, finally, he would ask me to do an aeration and stuff, and it would be like, okay, I'd do the aeration. And then he wouldn't want to do it again in the spring or in the fall, whatever the case may be. And typically I'm doing aerations twice a year on clients because of all the rain we get. He just was not into it. And I just kept educating him about it, right? And I don't know if he thought it was like a used car salesman or whatever the case may be. And I was like, you know what? Just look it up. Like, Google it. If you don't want it done, you don't want it done. But I'm just telling you, like, you want this nice lawn, but you don't want to do any of the things that required to do a nice lawn, right? And then he finally broke down and let me do it. And he's like, okay, we'll do it your way. You just don't go crazy with my credit card, was what he was saying. I said, hey, I'm outlining, you know exactly what you're going to spend. It's going to be weekly mowing. It's going to be the, aerations twice a year, the fertilizers, all that sort of stuff. This is, your package. This is when you can expect this stuff to be done. Basically every 2 months for the fertilizers and the aerations in the beginning of the spring and then fall and, the weekly mowing and all that sort of stuff, right? And he was that one that I've talked about in the past, who then, it was two or three seasons later where I was still doing it as per my specifications. And he tapped me on the shoulder and he's like, okay, now I get it. you know, why we aerate twice a year and all sorts of stuff. It's like the lawn is completely transformed. So yeah, no kidding. Like, of course, like this is the result you wanted, but you didn't want to do the stuff that's required to get to this result. So a lot of times it's just educating those clients and going that way. But for me, what I have found, like I say, is putting my foot down. And the biggest thing is just being willing to walk away and being willing to not land those clients and understanding that my business, for me, for my sanity, it has to be this type of client. And also, that's just not profitable for clients that don't want to play by my rules. So, you know, they say the customer is always right. And that's true in a sense, like if you want to provide good customer service and all that sort of stuff. But I also disagree because the customer is always right, except when they're wrong. And they have to, you know, if you, we all hear about customers who want it mowed shorter and want this and want that. And it's like, that's not what's healthy for the lawn. You want a nice lawn and stuff like that, but you want stuff done to your lawn that's detrimental to that and to getting that actual result. So it just depends on, you know, whether you care or you don't care. For me, I do care. I want, you know, I like doing certain types of lawns. So I focus on those because, like I say, if I'm working on lawns that are full of dog waste or that are, you know, really terrible and stuff like that, depending on the, you know, the machine or whatever like that. Like, I'll give you an example. If I have to push mow a really rough, nasty lawn, I don't like doing that. It's more, you know, it's harder on the body, harder on the machines and all that sort of stuff versus if I can use like a ride-on type machine, then I'm not so uninclined to do one like that. If it's, you know, a little bit bumpy and stuff like that, but if I'm riding and stuff, I don't mind it as much. So it just depends, right? Every lawn is different. Every client is different. Depends on what you want for your business. So there's no right or wrong answer. There's no, you know, this model fits every type of business. You have to choose and figure out what you want out of your business, what you think for your future. Do you want a future of servicing a zillion mow and go type clients? Do you want to focus in on those higher end clients and not even higher end clients? Just there's so much work out there. It's crazy. The amount of lawns to mow and clients that need lawn service is, you know, astronomical. So even honing in and once you wrap your brain around that, and that's why I don't worry about competition. I don't worry about those low ballers type guys out there because it's not the clients that are attracted to that aren't the clients that I want. And once you understand that, you can focus in on exactly what it is that you do want and go after those types of clients. And I'll tell you right away, you know, once you start, it'll feel like you're turning down a lot of clients. As the case, you know, sometimes I feel like, oh man, like, you know, there's a lot of quotes that I'm not getting because of these policies. But then I remember that, well, those policies are there for a reason. And if I look historically at my business, I have less clients now than I did when I started my business. And, you know, went away from the franchise. I had, when I, you know, the first few years of my being under my own name, I had more clients, but I make more money now with less clients because it's just the way it is. Over the years, that root density, honing in on those higher end clients, clients that want more services done, clients that, you know, want the weekly service versus biweekly and all that sort of stuff, you know, basically working on that. And that's what I want, is I want to be able to work smarter, not harder type things, right? So I just go after that type of client and I do everything in possible to deter the other clients from even asking for a quote from me. by laying out all those policies so that they know that, hey, if you're looking for the cheapest guy, if you're looking for the once every 2 weeks, if you're looking for the whatever the case may be, this isn't the service, right? This is the steakhouse, not the McDonald's, not the, you know, the sort of the low end service provider. So you basically have to just position yourself in the market for what it is, or that, you know, ideal type of client. So I think that pretty much covers that first part of your question. In terms of the second part on lawn renovations and stuff like that, I might have to do that as a separate episode. But Isaiah, thank you for submitting your question. Hopefully that gives you a bit more insight on what I've done in that situation over the years. Everybody's going to encounter this at some point in their business, those types of clients. And you just have to make that decision on what it is you want to do, and just be confident to be able to walk away from those other clients, knowing that, hey, that's not your ideal client anyways, depending on the situation, right, that you're in. Sort of timing your business and where you are on that teeter-totter of business. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.